pastoral application. Ultimately, it is God who opens and closes the womb. In His wisdom, He has given humans the gift of medical knowledge and technological insight to help identify, diagnose, and treat the underlying causes of infertility. While not every method of achieving pregnancy is morally or ethically acceptable, the use of licit means to seek healing and restoration can be a faithful response to the challenges of infertility. These treatments are not a substitute for God's sovereignty. They are tools to be used with discernment and humility. For every couple, the journey through infertility must be rooted in Scripture, guided by prayer, and grounded in trust in God, regardless of the outcome. God is the author of life, not technology. Scripture consistently affirms that God alone opens and closes the womb. While infertility is a result of the fall, it is never framed in Scripture as a punishment or personal failing. Rather, it is a sorrow that God sees, honors, and often redeems, even when that redemption does not come through biological children. As such, no medical treatment, no matter how advanced, can substitute for God's sovereign hand. Christian couples must begin and end their infertility journey with prayer, Scripture, and trust in the Lord, even as they pursue medical assistance. Medical interventions must always be received as tools, not idols, as gifts, not guarantees. Medicine as a tool under God's sovereignty. Medicine and technology are not inherently opposed to faith. In fact, God gives His children wisdom, insight, and tools to pursue healing and wholeness in a fallen world. This includes the ability to diagnose and treat the underlying causes of infertility, which restorative reproductive medicine seeks to do. These features mark a meaningful distinction between RRM and forms of assisted reproductive technology that create life in vitro, freeze or discard embryos, or involve third-party reproduction, practices that raise serious theological and moral concerns about human dignity, the meaning of parenthood, and the sanctity of marriage. The moral limits of human intervention. Just because something is technically possible does not make it ethically permissible. As Oliver O'Donovan reminds us, there is a difference between begetting and making. Christians are called to receive children, not manufacture them. When reproductive technologies treat children as commodities, or when the marital bond is circumvented, we cross from healing into hubris. In bioethics, this is often discussed in terms of ends and means. The desire for a child is good, but not every method of achieving that end is morally licit. Christians must discern carefully, asking, does this treatment honor the image of God in both spouses? Does it preserve the integrity of marriage and the marital act? Does it respect the dignity of the child as a gift, not a right or product? Is it consistent with biblical teaching on creation, embodiment, and human limits? These questions do not always yield easy answers, but they must be central to the ethical discernment process. Wisdom, not control, must guide treatment decisions. Psalm 127 warns that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. A Christian approach to infertility must be marked by wisdom, not control, faith, not fear. As Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This wisdom is not passive or fatalistic, but active, rooted in God's word and discerned through prayer, Christian counsel, and ethical clarity. James 1:5 encourages believers to ask for wisdom, and God promises to give it generously. This wisdom should guide couples in evaluating whether and when to seek medical treatment, which technologies to pursue or avoid, how to honor God with their bodies, marriage, and desires, how to wait on the Lord even when the path is unclear. The church as a companion in suffering. Infertility can be a profoundly isolating experience, especially within church communities that rightly celebrate family and children. Pastors and lay leaders must be sensitive, compassionate, and theologically grounded in their care. Infertility is not a moral failure, nor is it a punishment from God. It is a cross that some are called to bear, and the church must walk with them, not add to their burden. Christian couples are invited to pursue treatment, such as restorative reproductive medicine, that honors God, heals the body, and upholds the dignity of all involved. They are also called to remember that their dignity and worth do not rest in parenthood, but in Christ. Whether God grants biological children, calls them to spiritual parenthood, or invites them to other forms of legacy, He is faithful. As Christian leaders, we must shepherd couples toward hope, not in science alone, but in the God who sees, who heals, and who redeems.